Thank you for listening to the serialized podcast version of The Mark of a Druid, a fiction fantasy novel written and read by Rhonda R. Carpenter. I suggest that you start the story at the beginning, and to be sure that you get all of the episodes, go to themarkofadruid.com or rhondacarpenter.com. Episode 19, Chapter 28, Back to Work. Eve stuck the key in the lock. She noticed Cosmo was not in the window like he usually was. It occurred to her that she'd left in such a state of disarray that she hadn't even left him food. "Cos? Cosmo?" There was a note of panic in her voice as she called to him. She opened the door and didn't have to look long before the fawn-colored rush of fur dashed between her legs and headed for the sidewalk. Stretching out on the warm concrete, the cat rubbed his body on the rough surface and meowed his dissatisfaction at being left at home, alone, for days. She reached for him, scratched beneath his chin. "Hey there. Did you answer the phone while I was gone? Let's go see if you need some fresh water and food. You don't look like you missed any meals. Were you lonely without me?" He protested, squirming in her arms, while she picked him up and carried him into the house. He jumped to the floor and ran for the kitchen. I know, you're hungry. Following the cat into the kitchen, she was surprised to see a huge bowl of water. And not one, but two bowls of dry food, still overflowing. Then she noticed a piece of paper on the table with perfectly formed printing. "Aunt Eve, I left plenty of food for Coz. I hope he won't get fat while you're away with my mom. I gave him extra water, too. Some in the kitchen, and a sink full in the bathroom. When you get home, can I come over? I sure do wish I had my own cat. Love ya, Richard. P.S. I hope you feel better. You didn't look so good." "Well, Coz, you sure were well fed, even if it wasn't by me." The cat had decided it was time to ignore her. Passive-aggressive punishment, she guessed. As he walked away, meowing loudly and swishing his fawn-colored tail, she was definitely in trouble with the cat. She wanted to know. She had to get a better perspective on what had happened. The time on Catalina had done little to stop the images of Alian's life and instead had left her with more questions. Why did she have Alian's birthmark, her bruises, her feelings? Then there was Andrea and her connection to Alian's sister, Athene. Who else was involved in Alian's life? She wanted to think there was some logic in all this. There had to be a reason, but for the life of her, she couldn't see what it was. Let this go. The bruises are almost gone. Nothing a little makeup and a long-sleeve shirt won't cover. Go to work. It's what you do best, Eve thought. The red light on the answering machine blinked furiously. She had no real urge to hear her messages, but with message pad and pen in hand, she listened to them anyway. Lori's voice on the machine was vibrant with excitement. "Eve, when you get in, check your email. We have a confirmation on Charles Agner's lifetime as Sarah Godfrey Ramsey. Call me after you read the email. Geez, I wish you were home. Call me." The beep on the machine left her little time to consider her message or its impact. "Eve, this is James. Listen, we need to talk. Call me." His voice trailed off. "Yeah, right. I'll see you soon enough," Eve muttered as she touched the delete button. The oak stairs were a welcome reminder of home. She moved up to the office and flipped on the computer. Coz was still scolding her for leaving him alone, and she grinned at the thought of Richard's note. He was such a sweet kid. No baggy pants or funky haircuts for him. He seemed to be wiser than his years and completely devoted to his mother. She wondered if she would ever have that. She perused the list of emails, not truly wanting to respond to any of them. She just could not free her mind of its burden. She tried once more to concentrate on work. The clinic staff meeting was in 2 days. She knew she should write up an agenda, but she could not focus on what seemed to be the mundane tasks of her job. She forced herself to pick up the phone and dial the clinic's number. The answer was swift. "PLR Trials, Lori speaking. Hey, it's Eve. I just got in. Great news on the Agner regression. I'm looking at the data now. Have you told anyone else in the office?" "No, Eve, I was saving it for you. I thought it might perk up the staff meeting. How was the trip?" "I'd like to say it was restful, but I can't. Andrea and I had a whirlwind of a time," she said, rolling her eyes. Listen, I need some things for the meeting. Can you forward me the latest stats and tomorrow's client schedule? Sure thing. There's something you should know. We've had a complaint from one of James's clients. It seems she feels that he came on to her. She wants to talk to the senior therapist. You're kidding, right? No, Eve, I wish I were. What did she say exactly? Does James know about the complaint? Well, I'd hope he'd know. She was really angry when she left here about an hour ago. I told her you would call her this afternoon when you returned. You should have seen her. She came out of the office yelling at James at the top of her lungs, screaming that he was an inappropriate jerk and had no right to treat her like a tramp. She said, and I quote, "I'm not in the habit of being sexually harassed, especially not by a supposed professional. You will be hearing from my attorney." Damn it, Lori. I want her case file and her phone number. This is not what we need so close to the funding process. Shit! Do you think he really did something to her? Eve couldn't even imagine James coming on to a client. David? Yes. But never James. Lori, is he there? Eve said stronger than she meant to. I know James, and he would never do anything like this. No, he left right after making a phone call. He said he would be back this afternoon. Tell him to call me when he gets in. On second thought, never mind. I'll call him later. Do you have this woman's information yet? The anguished sigh which left her body was a precursor to an unstoppable anxiety which waved over her. Everything was falling apart. Here's her number. Her name is Jessica Phillips, and this was her first session. Got it. Thanks for the heads up. I'll call her now. Talk to you soon. How could he? He knows how important this project is. Damn! If this is true, he's gone, I swear. Eve screamed inside her mind. Seizing the phone, she pressed redial and waited for Lori to pick up. Hey, it's me again. I'd like a list of all James's clients. I want you to pull their files and put them in my office. I'll be in early tomorrow. Okay, is there something particular you're looking for? I'm not sure. I'll just have to look. All right, I'll have them waiting for you. Lori, I know how you feel. This must be a big shock. It makes no sense. Eve, I have to tell you, I know James, and he wouldn't do anything like this because, well, I just know. How do you know? Were you in the room? Lori, please, tell me he was running the video equipment. I don't know. I didn't even look. But I will. I just know he would never. Her voice trailed off. I'll go see if the equipment was running and handle the files. Is that it? I think that's it, at least for now. How long before you have Ms. Phillips' file sent over? I've already emailed you the intake forms. He didn't make many notes about the session. He took off so fast after the client left that I'm sure he didn't have time. Please do, and call me back if there's video or audio. I want you to courier them over. Will do, Eve. I'm on it right now. I'll call you back. Thanks, Eve said, hanging up the phone. She took a deep breath and dialed Miss Phillips' number, only to get a machine. Miss Phillips, this is Eve McCormick. I'm the senior therapist for the PLR Trials Project. Please call me. I look forward to speaking with you. She had barely set the phone down before it rang again. This is Eve McCormick. Eve, Lori, there is a videotape. I'm having the courier pick it up within the hour. Lori, can you have the case files sent at the same time? Yes, but I won't be able to do the list if you have the files. Forget the list. Pull his files and send them with the courier. I'll let you know if I need anything else. Thanks again, Lori. You're the best. Remember that at review time, will you? Eve could imagine her winking with the comment and said, "Done," with a smile. Eve then dialed James's cell phone number. The ring sounded in her ear. "Pick up, you schmuck." That figures. No answer. "James, this is Eve. Call me." She thrust the handset into the cradle and printed Ms. Phillips' intake files. She stapled them and began to read as she walked down the steps for a glass of water. Halfway down the steps, Kaz came bolting past her in the opposite direction. He let out the loudest hiss she'd ever heard. "What in the world is wrong with you, Kaz?" She had to twist to see where he'd gone, and in her peripheral vision, she caught a glimpse of a form that made her jerk her head around. You know, you should really lock your doors, Eve. James, what the hell are you doing here? I called first. However, I felt this needed to be handled in person. I heard you on the phone. I didn't want to interrupt. So, I made myself at home, he said with a smirk from across the room. He made himself comfortable in Eve's favorite chair. Listen, you don't just walk into someone's house like this. What in the hell is with you? Eve could feel the red flush starting to creep up her neck. She bent down and set the Phillips file face down on the stairs. I think you should tell me what you're doing here. Now, James. Oh, Eve. You know how it is. Some things deserve my personal attention, and others aren't worth it. The smile that crossed his lips was not anything she'd seen from him before. But Eve had seen that cocky smirk somewhere else. Where? A sense of greater than and condescension was mingled with something malevolent, which lingered just behind his eyes. Listen, I don't have time for games, whatever they are today. What are you doing here? Eve, what happened to your eye, hon? It looks like somebody hit you. Your new lover getting a little rough in the sack? He stood and took a step toward her. James, get out! If you can't be straight and stop the bullshit, you can leave. Her voice cracked. She backed up a step when it hit her. She had seen that smirk before, but not on James's face. The expression was clear enough. Its smirk dripping with disdain and brutality pulsing in the contracting jaw muscles. She placed her hand on the wall to steady her buckling knees, then stood frozen with a look of utter disbelief on her face. One of the boys who had hurt Athene stood before her. Why had Eve not seen him for who he was before? Why now? It's not like I raped her, Eve. I just asked her out. Don't look at me like that. She stepped forward, lifting and pointing her finger toward the door. Out! Right now! Get out! Oh, Eve, don't be upset. I was joking. I really need to talk to you. This client of mine is flipping out and making accusations. Yes, I heard. That, James, does not give you the right to come into my house and start shit. As a matter of fact, it probably is a bad move for you right now to have me not on your side. Can we talk about this? Just answer one simple question. Did you come on to her? No matter what his answer was, he was leaving, even if Eve had to call the cops. She was going to know the truth when she saw the videotape. Come on, Eve, calm down. You're acting like I'm the enemy. He shifted from one foot to the other, but did not move from where he stood. She placed her hands on her hips. Answer the question, James. Did I ask her out? Well, Eve, it's a more complicated question than you may think. But in short, no, I didn't ask her out. She came on to me. James, you know as well as I do that it's not only inappropriate to date a client, it's against all ethical counseling standards. What were you thinking? Never mind what you were thinking or not thinking. Something like this could shut the project down. I've worked too long and too hard to let you screw it up. I know, Eve. He looked like James again, the softer, more caring man she knew and was fond of. I'll make a formal apology. Whatever she thinks it is I did to her, I don't know what to say. James, I'm not sure an apology will make this go away. I have to talk to Ms. Phillips and see if I can calm her down. Even at that, there will be some kind of disciplinary action. Disciplinary action? Are you kidding me? Eve, get real. No one needs to know. Too late. She made a scene in the office. That in itself means all the partners have to decide if they want to risk their reputations on your word. Personally, I'm not sure what's going on with you. I've never seen you behave like this, and I'm in shock. Now you can leave. Don't come back. I'll see you at the clinic staff meeting day after tomorrow. Until then, your clients will be rescheduled, and you're not to come into the office. Is that clear? He turned to leave without a word, hanging his head. Eve did not buy it for a minute as she followed him to the door. Then he spun on his heels and glared at her. She stepped back at his next words. Listen, little girl, you're not going to take this project or my clients away from me. I've worked too hard to get where I am, and I will not let you interfere with my plans. You always were a thorn in my side. She could tell he was seeing red, and her heart thumped in her chest. A what? I'm a what in your side? Listen, I'm the senior on this project, and the project is more important than you or me for that matter. This, James, is profound work, as you well know. I'll not let you ruin a project's reputation or mine with this philandering crap. She shoved him out the door. I thought you had integrity. Oh, Eve, I know what the project means to you, but you have not the slightest idea what it's meant to me. I don't think you have the first clue as to the real impact of what we've been doing. You will, though. Eve felt threatened. The slamming door muffled the last words out of his mouth. Breathing a sigh of relief, she twisted the deadbolt and watched him pull away. It can't be. He's Athene's attacker? Or was? The chill of recognition could not be ignored. It was too powerful to just negate. What in the hell does this mean? Eve thought. She shook her head, trying to remove his image, but Perig's smirking face was burned into her mind's eye. She tried to pull herself together. Call the office, she thought. She dialed the clinic again, not giving Lori a chance to finish her greeting. Lori, it's Eve. Would you please clear James's calendar for the next few days? Tell his clients he's unavailable, and that you'll call and reschedule with them next week. Okay, Eve, consider it done. Who was in the office today? I mean, who else saw Ms. Phillips' outburst? Samantha was in session, so I don't think she heard much. David was out to lunch, and Lisa is not on the books today, so she wasn't even here. Beth won't be in till 4, so she wasn't here either. Is Samantha in session now? Yes, she should be done soon. It's her last one of the day. And David, where is he? He's in his office. Okay, here's what I would like you to do. First, when Samantha comes out, have her call me ASAP. Then, be sure to give Beth a heads up on what happened. Let her know James is out for at least this week. He's not to come into the office except for the staff meeting. Then, get Lisa on the phone and tell her to call me as well. Page her if you have to. I want to talk to her an hour ago. Has the messenger arrived yet? Yes, he left about 15 minutes ago. Good. Could you transfer me to David, please? Sure thing. What about James's messages? Give them to me, unless they're personal. Just leave those in his slot. Got it. I'll transfer you now. Dave, Eve, we have a problem. James has been accused of making a pass at one of his clients. He did what? You heard me. I haven't spoken to her yet. I left a message. His case files and video of the session are on their way here now. You have a choice. Either you can come down to my place and see it for yourself tonight, or you can wait for the staff meeting. I've suspended James for the next few days. Until we can all come to an agreement on how to handle this. Eve, my last client is at 6. As soon as I'm done, I'll be down. That won't be too late, will it? No, I'm sure I won't sleep much tonight. Sleep was the last thing she wanted to do. What would happen when she went to sleep? Oh, God, my world. My work is disintegrating before my eyes, Eve thought. Okay, as long as the traffic cooperates, I should be there by 8:15? The other line beeped. That's my other line. Oh, and while you're in the office, keep your ears open. I've told James not to come in until the staff meeting. If he shows up, call me. The phone beeped again. Get your other line. I'll see you tonight. Eve pressed the flash button on the phone. This is Eve McCormick. Hiya, Eve. What's up? Lori said you wanted me to call? Hi, Lisa. We have a problem, and I need to know if you can come over tonight. Tonight? Well, I have dinner plans. Is it important? Yes, it seems that James has caused a problem with a female client. I want you, David, and Samantha to come over and review the videotape of the session before the staff meeting. What kind of problem? Lisa asked. Apparently, one of his clients accused him of inappropriate conduct. David said he would be here around 8 or so. I'll talk to Samantha when she's out of session. James? I thought he and... Is he out of his fucking mind? We're about to submit for refunding the project. This could shut our doors. Yes, I can come. I'll cut dinner short and be there around 8:30. Is that okay? Perfect. Lisa, thanks. Sorry about your dinner plans. No problem, Eve. I'll be there. See you then. Eve hung up the phone and walked to the kitchen. Kaz bounded down the steps and ran to the front door, then yowled. What is it, Kaz? There was a knock at the heavy screen door. And it was still vibrating when Eve heard the young man's voice from outside.
I have a delivery for an Eve McCormick.
Right on time, she said as she walked to the door. Sign here, please. Thank you, she responded. She took the file box from his hands, pushing the cat away from the door with one foot. She closed the door and set the box on the chair. She was almost afraid to open it without everybody else being present. As she reached for the lid, the phone rang. She jumped, then whirled and grabbed the receiver. This is Eve. May I help you?
Eve.
Samantha. I take it you want to talk about James?
Sure do. Listen, David and Lisa are coming over to view the videotape and go through James's files tonight. Can you come too?
I really don't know if it's necessary for me to be there.
Can't I just see it here? I heard the screaming from his client and had to reassure mine that everything was fine. I almost lost her confidence when all hell started to break loose in the lobby.
I would really like it if we could all do this together. If you don't mind, Eve pleaded.
All right. What time?
As usual, Samantha seemed only to be interested in providing slight cooperation.
Around 8. Thanks, I really appreciate it.
8 it is. See you then. The click on the other line left her with only a dial tone buzzing in her ear. Eve shrugged her shoulders as she set the phone in the cradle, thinking, what a bitch.
The Mark of a Druid is now available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and BooksAMillion.com, among other places on the web. If you know someone that likes to hold a book, and you're the one that likes to listen, pass the news on. I really appreciate all the listeners, and I appreciate your comments as well. Leave them at iTunes, and leave them at Podiobooks or TheMarkOfADruid.com. Until next time, take care.